With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Letehan.
Here we are, episode 160. It's crazy. Man, I love doing this show, and I love that you joined us and spent some time with some songwriters and artists that we do on this show. And you know, you set little goals for yourself. You know, like during COVID, I thought, well, I'm going to learn how to podcast, you know. And slowly but surely, we put it together. And we started, like, I think it was like every other week we would post a show. And eventually, we had so many folks wanting to get on that we're doing it every week. And it's just a labor of love for me. My next goal is I want to be at a million streams by the end of the summer. And I think it's very doable. In mid-April, when we checked, it was 640,000. Wow. So I think we can get there. And that's our goal. But you know what? I'm big thanks to you for spreading it around and continuing to spread it around. Tell folks about it if you're into the craft of songwriting. We're hoping that we make you better songwriters, at least give you some ideas. So, hey, our artist today is a band called Two Lane Summer. And actually, we're One Lane Summer in it today. Chris couldn't make it, but Joe is here. Joe Hanson, hi, Joe, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Thanks for taking time to be on the show. It's really great to meet you.
Dude, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We've got some friends in common. It's a little big town, you know? And Cherise Boltori called me up. She goes, you know, I only get you the best acts, you know. I go, I know, Cherise. You got to put Two Lane Summer on because they're amazing and they're doing great things. And that was good enough for me. Mm. And then I'm taking a walk the other day, and I love to listen to podcasts as I walk. And Brett Baster, who's, by the way, Brett's got a great podcast called Climb. Mm-hmm. And it stands for something. What is it? Creating Leverage in the Music Business. That's what it stands for.
That's good. We're going to go with that.
Brett is a great songwriter, and they do a great podcast. You guys were on, and they did a thing that I thought was really amazing. They picked a song title, and then you guys had to come up with a way to write it. And
that's right.
Check it out. Listen to it. It's just fantastic. You know, it gives you a real look into the process of writing a song. I also have to say, Cherie Spoltori, I want you to go and look up Global Songwriter Connection. Now, mm-hmm. There's no connection to Songwriter Connection, but Cherie is amazing, and what she does for songwriters and artists in this town is beyond belief. She's recently put into the Source Music Hall of Fame, so congratulations for that. GlobalSongwritersConnection.com. Check it out and become a member if you want. She has helped a lot of people, and there's all kinds of things that she can help you with. And when people are coming into town and they ask me, you know, what's the next step? I always say, you got to make an appointment with Cherie. You have to. You walk out of there right, like you're floating on air.
Oh,
you?
Yeah.
Does
oh,
she?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's really good at encouraging people and help them see the vision mm-hmm. that they might not necessarily know how to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just leave her place and you're like, I got this.
I got this. Yeah. She really is something. Gotta love her. Two Lane Summer. Okay, let's start with the name. Where did that come from?
Man, I remember when we first got together, we had a few ideas. I don't remember the other ones, but I do remember our manager was like, hey guys, were starting to pick up steam, because for a while we had been posting mashups and covers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Just on our individual pages. We didn't have a official name yet. So I remember he was like, hey guys, we really got to lock a name down, mm-hmm. and just be brainstorming. And so I remember my wife and I, we were at Holiday World when we were trying to figure this out, just riding roller coasters. And I remember she had thrown out the idea of Tulane. And I was like, I love that. But there was an artist, not a major artist, but just somebody had already taken the name Tulane. And I was like, dang it. And the manager, our manager loved Tulane. He's like, dang, that's really good. Let's just think on it. And he's like, you know, what if we just throw summer on the end of it? Just a cool
everybody
visual.
Loves summer,
everybody
right?
loves summer, dude. So we're like, all right, we'll live with it. And, uh-huh. and, you know, obviously the abbreviation 2LS, we're like, we were trying to
2LS. I like that.
2LS, man. We're
and
trying
it is
to
the number two. It's not TWO.
It is the number two. Yeah, cause that two. That's hip.
Yeah. That's it.
We had to stay hip. So yeah, we started running with Tulane summer, and, it just kind of, it's one of those things where like when you hear it, it's kind of weird at first, and then you get so used to saying it that it's like, oh yeah, it's a thing.
Been there all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you and Chris hook up? So say story.
So Chris and I moved to
Tulane. He's from Mississippi. You're from Chicago, right?
Correct.
Two sides, you know.
Yeah. Seriously, I was super far north. He was a little more south, and yeah, right, south.
Yeah.
Geography ain't my thing. That's why I do music.
They said there wouldn't be any math or geography on this podcast. That's why you're here.
Man, sorry, I left college. I left that behind me. Goodness. Yeah, that's why I can't quit. I'm not going to do geography major. If I quit music, it's not going to be geography.
That's right.
How did we
did you both come to Nashville? And you met here, right?
Correct. Okay. So I grew up in Naperville, Illinois. Chris grew up in Jackson, Mississippi. And he moved to town, I would say, about 8 years ago. I moved about six. Okay. So
yeah.
He was doing it about probably 2 years longer in town. And I was doing it back in Illinois, just open mics, you know, trying to write songs that I thought were good at the time. So yeah. I look back, weren't, but
yeah.
I moved to Nashville 6 years ago, and I was trying to land a publishing deal,
mm-hmm.
to write songs. And Cherie was walking me around to a few people, and just didn't really find the right home at that point. And I had a buddy, Matt Rogers, actually had mentioned Ash Bowers, and he said, hey, you know, I know this dude, Ash. He's awesome manager, always looking for great talent. You should get connected with him. And I had told Cherie, and she was like, done. And so just like that, I had a meeting set up with him in a couple weeks, and I went in, played some songs for him. You know, it's funny, I probably shouldn't tell the story, but
why not?
I remember taking this, I'm totally digressing, you're gonna have to pull me in.
I have these squirrel train moments all the time. These are the best.
Man, I remember taking that meeting with Ash,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you gotta dress the part.
Yeah.
Like you can't just roll up like, so I go in my, you know,
probably you have a suit on?
Very similar, not or a no? suit. That's too formal. Just my standard, you know, like the skinny jeans, the boots, the nice shirt. My
hat or no?
You know what? I don't remember because I had long hair back then.
Oh, okay.
See, you picked up podcasting during the COVID. I picked up growing my hair out to my shoulders.
So did I.
I think everybody had the COVID flow.
We experimented with it.
Yeah. So I don't remember, but I do remember it was my favorite pair of jeans. And I get there and I'm getting ready to go in, and I look down and there's a huge rip in my jeans.
Oh no.
And the place you don't want the rip. No. And I'm like, this is horrible. I mean, this is over before it began in my mind. So I'm like, this is great.
No.
I remember sitting on his couch and you know, I had to block it out because I'm meeting a dude that I'm super nervous. I'm about to play him some songs. My mind has already forgotten there's a rip in my pants. So I'm sitting on his couch, just like
covered it up with your guitar.
Well, I probably should have more, but I hope he might not have seen it. But I don't even know if he knows that, but I just remember playing for him. And I'm like, I pray, Jesus, please just make sure his eyes are just like, do not see the rip in my pants. Anyways, I ended up playing for a couple songs for him. And he really liked him. And he had got me set up with a few of the writers at Wide Open just to write and kind of do that dating process as a songwriter, just start writing with their crew and see how it goes. And didn't hear anything from Ash for a couple weeks, maybe a month or something. And randomly one night I get a text and he's like, "Hey dude, it's Ash. How would you feel about being in a duo?" Wow. And at that point I had never even considered the option because I've been doing it so long solo for 6 years. And obviously prayed a lot about it and got a piece. And you know, he connected me with Chris and he's like, "Hey guys, you know, obviously no pressure, we don't want this to be
Had you ever met before? Did you ever write together or anything?
We had never written. I never knew the dude. I didn't even know he existed up until that point. And Ash was very good with, you know, you don't want to be forced. So he was like, "Hey guys, obviously, I think you guys are both great. I think you guys would make an awesome duo. No pressure. See where it goes." And so Ash had set us up with the intention of putting us together as a duo. But obviously, if it didn't work, it was... make it work. Right. So,
But fortunately, it's worked so far, huh?
Fortunately, it has worked.
You guys sound so good together. Your voices blend. In fact, let's play something right now. You're going to release a new version of the song I'm going to play right now coming up. Well, it's out by now. This is God Made You. So
God Made You.
Did you guys write this too?
We did. Yep. With our buddies, Ash was co-writer, and Mike Mobley.
Mike Mobley. And Ash, by the way, a big manager, producer, writer in this town. Managed Matt Stell, who had a big hit not too long ago, and Jimmy Allen too. But so here's Tulane Summer, and Joe, thank you so much for joining us. This is
God made rivers to carry the rain away. He made that sunrise to start up the day. He made mountains and deserts, one hell of a few. If you ever wonder why God made you, this old world needed one more angel in it, shining all her beauty in it, heart of gold. And he broke the mold, he knew. Everything I never had, best friend, better than a better half. Yeah, it's true, baby, that's why God made you. You're a miracle, if there ever was. I swear you heal me every time we touch. And girl, just your voice can calm down any storm. I think I know what the Lord was thinking on the day you were born. And this old world needed one more angel in it, shining all her beauty in it, heart of gold. Then he broke the mold, thing I never had, a best friend, better than a better half. Yeah, it's true, baby, that's why God made you. This old world needed one more angel and it shining, all her beauty in it, heart of gold. Then he broke the mold, he knew you'd be everything I never had, a best friend, better than a better half. Yeah, it's true, baby, that's why God made you. God made you.
Amazing. 2LS, right?
2LS.
Two-Lane Summer. Joseph's our guest, and what a great song. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's more of a keyboard piano-driven, more stripped-down version of the one that's out there right now, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's just the piano demo. And Chris did that.
Chris did that.
Prophetic.
Yes, he.
Keys player, man. Oh, he's no like, wow. It's not even fair. When you get in a room, like, dude, he could like pick up that candle and make it sound good. Like,
it's amazing.
He's just a phenomenal player.
Musical genius, probably. Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. He's producer as well, but he's
producing too?
So he'll produce like the keys he did for that. Ash is producing all of our stuff right now. So he oversees and produces everything, but, Chris was playing the keys on that. He's just That's an amazing keys player, man. Really is.
Now, and I want to get back to the writing of that song, but I want to say, you know, Chris, he came up doing that kind of those mashups and things and became a real TikTok sensation, didn't he?
He did.
Real viral hit, you know.
So, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Like, I feel it's so funny. Only God could plan this, but like, Chris was killing it in the social media. I don't know how much writing he was doing or getting plugged into the Nashville writers world, but I know he was killing it on the TikTok, social media mashups, crushing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the solo stuff, doing as much as I could. I was doing a little bit of that, but obviously not to the same scale as Chris was.
Right.
But I was very heavy, I would say, in the writers world, just expanding my network of writers, just writing, building my catalog like crazy, really working on the writing craft. And it's crazy, man. When we got brought together, it's like both the things that neither of us were working on as much as the other, we just met each other in the middle. Like, he was killing it on social media, I'm killing it in the writing, and we both, like,
it met
perfectly. Yeah. And he's teaching me, like, I'm sure he's learning stuff from writing as I'm still learning. But, man, I learned so much from Chris from social media stuff. So it's like, just cool how we both had.
He knows that world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about in collaboration, you know, and it goes beyond songwriting. How you learn from each other and you grow.
That's right.
Together as artists.
That's so right.
Let's talk about the writing of that song. Was it when you wrote it? Was it Chris on piano or was it piano driven, guitar driven? What was the feel? Do you remember? I know you write a lot of songs, but do you remember?
Man, I remember it was guitar driven. We weren't writing on piano that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, man, just like, you know, it's a good day when you get in a room with Ash Bowers and Mike Mobley. It's like, all right, we're going to, it's a good room.
Yeah.
So we were excited. And I remember Mike Mobley came in with the title, God Made You. And I think it was just right around the time when our love stuff might have been starting to catch a little steam. And so I think we were probably in the direction of like, hey, let's write something for a girl or like something love, and Mike Mobley threw that title out, and we were like,
let's do it.
That's awesome. Ash gets his guitar, obviously. I don't remember who ended up doing that, but, you know, as soon as a good idea goes out, all the guitars and then everybody's like, hold on.
Who's
something's falling out here.
Yeah. I love that feeling. Yeah. That is a good feeling.
It went quick.
Yeah.
And I remember we wrote it like Mike Mobley, if you've never heard him sing, it's like Rascal Flatts level.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, he's up in the stratosphere. Yeah. So he wrote it way up in, like, I don't know what key this song is in, but we had to drop it a few keys. And actually, oddly enough, we wrote the song. We got a work tape. The first work tape, I think Ash had ended up singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just had intention of, like, we'll do a little track for it another day. But so we had a little work tape Ash sang that we were living with, and Mike Mobley went on to build out his own little version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out. Actually, my wife and I just got married.
What's her name?
Macy.
Hey, Macy. Nice to talk to you.
Macy Mays Hansen. She has the coolest name.
Yes, she does.
Macy Mays. And I ruined it by So she pulled the ultimate move. She switched her last name to her middle name and took my last name to keep the Macy Mays. The alliteration, like, as a songwriter, it killed me to take the
you gotta write
the M and the N. That's just like...
Well, let me ask you this. First time you played it for Macy, what'd she say?
She loved
it.
Did
she melt?
Yeah. She loved it.
Yeah.
Actually, and she's so straight up, like, she'll tell me, like, you know, as songwriters, songs are our babies, so we're like, this is the best song I've ever written. The day you write it.
The day you write it.
Then, you know, obviously they'll have to tell you straight up, which I appreciate, because you got to get around people that aren't, dude, that's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
So when she tells me a song's good, I know there's something there. But she really loved this song. And
you ever,
so
you ever read one where she said, "I ain't try again."
Did she? I don't want to lie on
it. I asked because it is really good to get good feedback from folks.
Yeah, know, we right? might yeah. need to get my wife on the line. She'll tell you. There's a few.
Yeah, it always seems to happen. Yeah.
But we were stuck in Miami from our honeymoon. We were coming back, and I remember Mike had sent me, he sent us his track.
Mike Mobley. Mm-hmm.
And, dude, it was so good. Mm. I actually remember listening to this song, and this is one of the few songs I've heard that I just started, like, getting emotional when I heard it. And sometimes I still do. Just reminds me of my wife, and just it captures that special feeling. So it's like, when I heard his version, I was like, if it's making me cry, bro, like, I know something's here. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, somehow it had ended up in Gary LaVox's camp from Rascal Flatts.
No kidding.
And I think it was on hold for a minute. Mm. And obviously, you know how that world is. Like, you hear something, you get excited, you don't hear anything for maybe ever.
Maybe ever. Yeah.
And then it just got to the point where we're like, you know, this song is a smash. We're going in the love direction. Like, guys, you know, if this is going to blow someone up, it should blow Two Line up. You know, uh-huh. Gary wants it, go for it. But, like, we should take a swing at it. And we did. And
that's great.
Yeah.
Going in the love direction. I wanted to talk about that. In fact, there's going to be the name of our podcast. Going in the love direction. It's like this new romanticism type genre popping up in country music. And I think it's good. But you guys seem to fit that mold and fill that hole, I want to say. Mm-hmm. That mold, that hole. Mm-hmm. There's been a hole there, you know.
For real. And I think it's funny because, you know, we had gotten in, and as I said earlier, like, I grew up, and Chris is very similar. I mean, just we listened to a lot of music growing up, but me particularly, I think my parents brainwashed me with, like, Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, old school Keith Urban, old school Rascal Flatts. Sure. And I just loved country music. As I grew up, I, you know, had learned more modern bands like Florida Georgia Line and all those awesome acts. And so Chris and I mean, we just love the big instruments. We love the organic sound. Pop country is cool and all that. And, you know, we have influence from the pop world, the rock world. So we got all of it.
All of it mixed in. Yeah.
All of it. But we were like, man, let's just pick up where FGL left off because we love their music. So we were like, originally, that's what we were chasing with Two Lane Summer, and very quickly, and we still have elements of that with songs like Summer on Fire, and you know, you got to throw some in for the boys, because
yeah, you do,
So we still got some of that, but very quickly, our fans, as we saw on TikTok and Instagram, they were really resonating with the love stuff, and a majority of our fan base is obviously predominantly women, and you know, I think to your point, there is a need for that outlet.
I think there is. There's so many songs about trucks I can listen to and ice cold beer, you know. But love songs to me have always been the hardest to write. Mm. Have they been that way for you, or did you always?
You know, and I will say too, I think we're in a there's a climate that country music is in where a lot of artists are writing about. You know, it's that toxic relationship. It's that breakup. Yes. It's that, like, is that very dark, edgier. It's rock. It's got that kind of, like, it'll make a depressed lyric, but I'm also, like, that relational tension and that a lot of people are writing about that.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people are writing love songs.
They're not.
See, there's a whole, it's not like we just picked it. It's like, these are what they're telling us.
On their socials, they want to hear more of. Yeah.
Yeah. So in a way, they kind of help direct our writing into, like, okay, let's lean into this. But for me, now, I mean, the love songs are the hardest to write if you don't have experience to pull from. Mm-hmm. Luckily, obviously, I'm coming up on a year of marriage now. I've known her since.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. We met in the pandemic. We were a pandemic relationship. Ooh. We had met through Instagram, oddly enough.
Wow.
And crazy God story with how all that played out. But she grew up in Pennsylvania, and I'm in Illinois. So, I mean, it was no other way but God to do that.
Yeah.
And got married last June, and she's given me so much to write about.
I'll bet. Lots of inspiration.
Huh? Lots of inspiration, man. Yeah. For sure.
Is Chris married?
Chris is not married.
Not married.
No. Okay. No.
Can we talk about him? He's not here. We'll talk about Chris. No.
I might get a phone call when this comes out.
Absolutely. No, let's move on to another song. You guys have a song that you've written, and I used to do a lot. When I was a young DJ, you know, in the Cleveland area growing up, we'd supplement our income by doing weddings and parties as a disc jockey. And I did more weddings. I mean, from Detroit to Buffalo to Columbus to Cincinnati. We did a lot of weddings. And the first dance song is always the hardest one to pick. So I'd always ask the bride, what do you want? And you'd get some crazy, I'm telling you, crazy things, you know. But you guys wrote, like, the song for weddings.
Thank you, bro.
If you're getting married, ladies, you got to listen to this next song. So I guarantee you're going to want this to be your first dance song. So tell us about First Dancing.
First Dancing. Man, that was, wrote it with one of my very best friends, Casey Timmer, who I,
Casey's a great
Casey guy. Timmer, man. He is, I hope he gets on this podcast.
I want to get, I've asked him, he said, yeah, I just have to reach out and get him.
That's going
to
be, if you're listening to this, you need to go eventually find the Casey Timmer version.
And by the way, it's spelled K-E-E.
K-E-E-S-Y.
S-Y. But he pronounced
Keezy.
Keezy.
But it's Casey.
But it's Casey.
That tripped me up when I met him.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of big songs with Kelsey Ballerini, and he's just a brilliant songwriter. Great guy. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah, like I said, with Ash and Mike, you know, it's a great room. When you get in with Casey Timmer,
yeah,
you know it's going to be, one, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a great song, and you're going to leave that place just feeling, like, energized. Mm-hmm. That's just Casey Timmer. He's just like a ball of joy.
He really is.
He's like, if God just poured talent and joy and energy into one person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, dude, you get the best songs with him because he's awesome.
Yeah, you do.
So we went into that room, and I think I had a title on my phone. Just like, I'm trying to write moments now, because as a songwriter, when you go in, and it's so much easier when you know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had spent 6 years, I didn't really know who I was as an artist, just writing the best songs and putting out good ones.
Right.
But with Two Lane Summer, now that we know we're going, trying to chase that, we kind of know where to shoot the arrow.
Right. And that's a lot of it, finding out where to shoot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
It's very hard. And so I had a title on my phone. I think I just had First Dance. And I was like, all right, it's got to be something like, that's a huge moment. I had just gotten married, like I said, and it was a special moment. So we're like, dude, like, I don't know. Chris brought this track in. We were writing on piano that day. And when I started playing that track and I was looking through my notes, I was like, First Dance. And I looked at it and I was like, dang, how do we, cause you felt the emotion from that piano track.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this would fit perfectly. But like, First Dance is kind of a lame title. Like, how do we make this cool?
Right.
It's just so straightforward. It's like, we got to like twist it somehow.
So important to come up with that, yeah.
And I forget.
Where to shoot the arrow? I love that. That's great. That's great.
Doesn't always hit the bullseye, like I said. I think just through talking, Casey and Chris and I going back and forth, like we eventually got to the point, like, First Dancing. Okay, we're dancing, First Dancing, First Dancing into Forever, First Dancing into Forever with you. And when that line came out, we were like,
whoa.
Yo, I think that's the hook. And the rest, dude, fell out. It was one of those songs where God just pours it out and like...
It happened.
It had to have been like less than an hour and some change. I mean, it happened very quickly.
Doesn't always happen. When it does,
yeah,
it's like magic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I always get the chills in my...
Dude,
my,
I know. Oh, man. Okay. I'm getting chills now just thinking about it.
Well, let's play it for you. First Dancing, this is Two Lane Summer. Songwriter Connection Podcast.
I'm speechless, got my heart beating out of my chest, never seen you more beautiful than you are right now in this dress. The song playing couldn't be more perfect, and we've been waiting, but the wait was worth it. Hands are shaking, just a little bit nervous. I can't believe that I'm first dancing into forever with you. In slow motion, spinning you round this room. Mama's crying, and Dad is trying not to. But I ain't lying, every eye is on you. We got the rest of our lives ahead of us. So baby, hold on to me, and we can just be in this moment that feels like a dream come true. First dancing into forever with you. Girl, your left hand sure feels right with that ring, and I can't imagine anyone else ever taking my last name. From here on out, you can count on me. I'll be the one, gives you what you need. Through whatever kind of crazy life brings, I still can't believe that I'm first dancing into forever with you. In slow motion, spinning you around this room. Mama's crying and your dad is trying not to. And I'm lying, every eye is on you. We got the rest of our lives ahead of us. So baby, hold on to me. We can just be in this moment that feels like a dream come true. First dancing into forever with you. Like a dream come true. First dancing into forever with you. Into forever with you.
They're Tulane Summer, Chris Ray and Johansson. We are Chrisless today, but Joe is talking about it. And we'll be back to find out more about TLS right after this. Don't go away.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Well, we just heard a great song, Chris Dancing. Was that Chris on the piano again?
That was.
Was it? Yeah. He's a great player. Yeah.
He's good, man.
Yeah, he's good.
He's the kind of dude I don't want to play next to. Like, yeah, I'll just let Chris do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you guys compliment each other real well.
Oh, man, we do.
How about your stage show? How's that? How's that going? You guys work on that? Do they work on that as part of a when you got an artist deal like this? Do they get you on stage and work on that?
That's a great question. Yeah. We have only played, believe it or not, we've only played 2 shows.
Really?
One of them was acoustic for CMA Fest a year ago, and the other was a private event. Oddly enough, we actually played at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Which was super fun.
Ford Theater there? That's beautiful.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, to my point, the industry is so different now that you really are doing a lot of stuff on social media to grow your fan page. Mm-hmm. That we had just taken the last 2 years or a year and some change, whatever it is. We had just been writing, excuse me, and putting content after content, mashup, original, just blowing up social media. And that's how we've gotten, you know, God has blessed the page to grow through just mm-hmm. posting. Mm-hmm. So honestly, we haven't done a lot of live shows. We had just now gotten a dude on our team who helps in that space for booking. So we're kind of just now getting shows coming in. So
You got a busy summer ahead of you, don't you?
That's the goal, man. Yeah. So we've had rehearsals before with the band, and we have an awesome band. We're so blessed to have just like top notch players. Oh, yeah. It really helps.
Oh yeah.
So we'll get in a rehearsal. We'll just kind of like get a set list going, and we'll try to find moments. I've worked in the past with awesome people like Amy Walter at Tom Jackson Productions. If you've never heard of that, Tom Jackson, like all the big names use Tom Jackson. I think he's worked on like Taylor Swift's show, like just huge names. He has an awesome book too, but like their program basically takes your live show and turns it into an experience.
Right.
So that's what we try to do when we go into rehearsal. We're always mindful of like, hey, we're not just going up there to play 10, 11 songs back to back. Like we want to create moments because people get attached to the moments. And that's really what makes a live show special for the people.
That's the second time that you've talked about creating moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. It's not just it wasn't just an accident that you used mm-hmm. that term, creating moments. Talk a little bit about that.
That's
a neat concept.
It is, if you can wrap your mind around it. I mean, like I was talking to a producer buddy of mine, Austin Sean, and we were talking about how like, you know, I think it was with, No. I was listening to another podcast
mm-hmm.
who is, they were talking about music and they were kind of getting on the subject of like playlists and all that and how writing, how genres are dying and how playlists are more of the, so they're like, it's almost more smart to write for a playlist than to fit a genre, which I was like, dang, I've never thought of writing like that.
I've been saying that since day one of this podcast. Not ignore it totally, but don't worry about genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so I told this to my producer buddy. I was like, what do you think about this? And he's like, yeah, that's good. But I would take it a step further. And I would even say you have to write for the moment or the feeling. Mm-hmm. He said, I would write for the feeling because feelings, they don't go away.
Right.
I mean, those are timeless. So if you can write for a feeling or a moment in somebody's life, like that's going to be timeless.
Tell us how you do that. Is there a way? How do you accomplish that?
Honestly, I don't think I have the answer. There's if we knew, we would have a lot more hit songs, I think.
Right? Yeah.
But
do you know when you found it?
Well, then you got to ask yourself, what are you looking for? What is success?
That's how you define it, as I've always said.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like with First Dancing or God Made You, I mean, at least for First Dancing, I mean, that's a moment in somebody's life. Excuse me, I hate to even use the term like product because I'm a creator, so, but you can't neglect the business side of the music. So,
no, you can't. No.
To not be call it a product is to just neglect that whole business side. And you have to have both the creative and, the business.
You do. Yeah, you do.
And so, like, if you think about it from a marketing point of view and a creative point of view, it's like everybody in life is going to have a moment, right?
Exactly.
Someone's going to get married. Somebody's going to have a first dance. Somebody's going to lose somebody. Somebody's going to have a brand new relationship. Somebody's going to go through a breakup. Well, my job as an artist and a songwriter is to provide a soundtrack for somebody's life. And mm-hmm. so if I can be mindful of those moments that they're going to go through in life, it's my job to put product there for them to be able to like McDonald's, like they exist because they feed hungry people.
Right.
When I'm hungry, McDonald's provides that solution.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
It's the same.
Sorry.
What a smash.
Yeah.
Talk about a moment.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I just went to McDonald's yesterday. Apparently they have a different Diet Coke recipe than just like a regular fountain drink.
My wife was asking me if it's smoky Coke or something.
I have no idea.
I'm like, what is that?
But my wife and I love Diet Coke, and we were just told that they have a different recipe.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I got to try it. And we went, and it was life-changing.
Was it really?
It was different. And I was like, they've been holding out.
Oh, my gosh.
Go get a Diet Coke from McDonald's. Anyways, back to it. You have to be able to provide. Like, if somebody wants a first dance, like, I want to, as a marketer and as a person putting stuff into the creative world, I want to be able to have my soundtrack for them to listen to attach to that moment in their life.
I think that's awesome, and I think you've hit it. It's kind of like capturing a moment. It's kind of like you think about a camera right away. And I've also I've heard people say, you know, when you're writing a song, it's where you're going to put that camera. But I also like you're saying about, you know, where to shoot that arrow. Where are you going to aim that arrow? And then everything has got to be right toward that target. I mean, every line, doesn't it? I mean, you write to that where you're aiming that arrow. And as a songwriter, and we try to always do the lesson in the song here on the show, I think it's so important. Capture the moment, but define what it is, right? And find a way, a place to put that camera. Know where you're aiming that. Would that be good advice, you think?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what we've done, and seems like it worked.
Let's use this next song as an example, because if you can only see yourself with their eyes that ain't yours. I mean, think about that. That is, you know what? You don't see you how I see you. So if you could see you through eyes that ain't yours, what a great concept for a song. So tell us about the writing of this, and then we're going to play it for this great song, A Two-Lane Submariner.
Thank you. Thank you. I remember, so Chris and I had just, we had just started, actually, funny how God would have it. This was our first official scheduled write.
Really?
First scheduled write. I had met him the night prior. I invited him out to a write that I had with a couple buddies, but it wasn't technically like him and I getting together. Our first official one was the next day, and we wrote Eyes That Ain't Yours. Mm. And that was the first song we ended up putting out, and that was the first one that really took off for us. So it's just funny how that works out. But I remember getting in that room. We wrote it with me, Chris, and some awesome buddies, Dustin James and John Marlin. and I remember getting in, and it was just like, I don't think we had a groove or nothing. We were just getting in and just catching up, you know. In Nashville, you spend the first like 30 to 40 minutes just like catching up.
Yeah, getting to know each other, yeah.
That's why you have to block off like the first, it really is 4 hours, because the first hour.
You really have to. And you know, a lot of times songs come out of those, the way you're talking.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting to talk and you get on something and you go, wow, let's write that.
That's right. We just wrote. There. Yeah. Yep. We had just written the other day, same exact thing. We're just having a conversation and the dude's like, that's our title today.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
But I remember we got in the room, we were just catching up, just getting to know each other. Just like, you could just feel the energy. Cause like, obviously Chris and I just met the night before, like still super fresh. Like, this is exciting. Like we have no idea what this looks like as a duo, or we have no expectations. We're just shooting for the moon and we're just excited and happy to be here. I remember that's kind of how we were feeling. And I remember God had given me that title and I'd kept it in my phone, just Eyes That Ain't Yours. And I remember I threw it out and then Dustin, I think it was either Dustin or John, it might've been both, started playing something on guitar. We wrote it on acoustic that day. And then John Marlin is an awesome producer, writer. So he was cooking up like a track while we were writing that and helping write it. And, man, it just fell out so quick. I think just that chorus, I think we wrote the chorus first and then we went back to that verse, but it just like First Dancing, it was the same feeling. And not every write is like this. Only a handful of have happened. Eyes That Ain't Yours was one of them, First Dancing and a few others, but we're just like, you could just feel God's anointing. Just like, it just drops the song and it's good. So it writes itself essentially.
And this was the first one you did.
And this was the very first song.
Isn't that incredible? Right on the shoot, man. Well, let's listen to it. Eyes That Aren't Yours. Ain't Yours. It's Too Late Summer on a podcast.
Like the way that your jeans been fitting, can't find a thing to wear. You don't like your hair, you say you can't do nothing with it. But I wouldn't listen to that girl in the mirror, cause I think she's lying to you. It couldn't be clearer, cause from my point of view, what you call a mess is my perfection, flawless from my perspective. Your look like hell sure looks like heaven to me. Yeah.
Cause you see what I'm crazy for. If you could just see you through eyes it ain't yours. You walk in the room, every head starts turning. People can't help but stare. Girl, I'm not there, ain't got a clue what the good Lord's giving you. But baby, I do. What you call a mess is my perfection, flawless from my perspective. Your look like hell sure looks like heaven to me. Yeah, you quit calling me crazy, cause you see what I'm crazy for. If you could just see you through eyes it ain't yours. What you call a mess is my perfection, flawless from my perspective. Your look like hell sure looks like heaven to me. Yeah, you quit calling me crazy, cause you see what I'm crazy for. If you could just see you through eyes it ain't yours, you'd see you like I do through eyes that ain't yours.
Song. It really is. Tulane Summer. Johansson is our guest today of Tulane Summer, courtesy of Wide Open Music. Good to have you here. The production on that is amazing. Where are you just recording these days?
Thank you. Yeah. I think we, well, first of all, Ash Bowers, just prolific producer. I mean, he's so good. He's got such an ear for that kind of stuff. And like, we recorded it at Soundstage, I think it was.
Okay.
Kind of, yeah. I think it was in Soundstage.
Who played that searing guitar lead on there? Do you know?
Dude, remember? I wish I knew. Ash had went, the story on the song, it's funny. And I will say too, for anybody listening that's an artist, or honestly, it goes for anybody in any, anything in life. This is just a good lesson in life. So we had that song. We wrote that song, I want to say back in, I forget. I mean, it was very, very early on. We've been sitting.
Was it BC before COVID or no?
This was after the long hair, Joe. This was right before I cut it.
Okay.
But
long hair, Joe.
Yeah, that was before COVID. BC. That's funny. Yeah. So we had written this song and we were sitting on it for a few months. Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. We weren't doing nothing with it. We actually didn't even have plans to put it out. And we had written, we had went on a writer's retreat.
Love those.
So fun. And for those of you not listening that don't know, we just basically go to a cabin or somewhere for the weekend or a few days. And you just go out with a couple songwriters and you just write as many songs as you can and have a good time. And we had went on a writer's retreat out in Hendersonville and, John Marlin, who we had written that song with, was one of the writers, and I think we were playing pool in one of the rooms. We were just chilling in between writes, and he's like, dude, that Eyes That Ain't Yours song, man, it's so good. And we had only had a day of demo, so just like a little track with that acoustic.
A little work tape, right?
Little work tape. It was just the acoustics and maybe a kick drum and like a loop of like a like under that. And so he's like, dude, that's such a good song. He's like, y'all should just put it up on your social media.
See what happens.
See what it does.
Yeah.
And Chris and I were very like strategic about what we put out, which we need to get better at just like throwing something out just because. Yeah. It's very calculated, the social media game. So, like, I understand where you have to come from that place to put stuff out intentionally. But he was like, dude, y'all should just go film something real quick on the porch. Just go throw it up.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we're like, yeah, why not?
Why not?
Let's do it. and so we filmed it on some rocking chairs. We had put the video up, I think it was that day, and it just started going nuts.
Did it really?
And we were like,
whoa.
Oh my goodness. Like, it started climbing very quick, just with the numbers. Like, and we were like, hey, Ash, like, this song's kind of blowing up, dude. We need to capitalize. Now, I will say, I wish we had put it out. You know, everything happens in God's timing, so it's good. But we had waited, I think, a month or a month and some change to put that out from when it originally started blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
So Ash had went in and tracked it with the band like in December, and then we put it out in January. But I will say the life lesson is like, we had no plans of putting that out, and we just took the chance.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a million reasons to say no, but for whatever reason, we just decided to take that chance. And like, honestly, like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You take the chance. It's better than just like, you'll never know. We would have never put that song out if we'd never taken that chance. And that goes for anything. Like,
mm-hmm.
somebody's listening and you're like, whatever the chance, like, life is too short to like live in fear. Like, I really believe we're not supposed to live in fear and like make decisions based out of fear. Like,
I agree with you, my friend. Yeah.
Life is way too short. Like, make the move, be courageous, like take the chance.
Don't be afraid to take that first step.
Yes. Sure. Like we had preconceived thoughts already of like, not like the song's probably not for us.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we know?
What do we know?
We took the chance, and here it is. Yeah. Everything fell into place. Like, everything works out.
Yep.
Don't live in fear. Just take the chance.
Absolutely.
You have no idea.
Yeah. We're running out of time, but I want to get one more song. I do love this song. I don't. So can we talk about that real quick? Tulane Simmer, the duo that you're going to hear a lot of, I know of. But I don't. Great song.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was, I think we wrote this back. I think it was like the Friday before Labor Day or something, okay. I want to say, because I remember I was about to head out of town after that riot. We were going to go to Pennsylvania, and we wrote it with Ash Bowers and Matt Rogers,
okay,
which was kind of cool because Matt was the one that ended up he had planted the seed to talk to Ash, so
awesome.
In a weird way, it was kind of cool, but man, this song was just, I remember Matt Rogers came in with that hook, I Don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that spin on it, and him and Ash and Chris and them, we just started playing, and it fell out very. I think we had to work a little for this one.
Mm.
I don't remember it just falling out, but I do remember when we got. This was another song. I mean, we just really didn't know what we thought we were FGL 2.0. So I will say, Chris and I feel like we were a little ignorant, but we were like, we knew it was a smash,
mm-hmm.
but we're like, is this Tulane? Is this 2LS? Like, we were doubting. Not the song. The song was awesome. It was a smash. We just didn't know if it was the brand we were trying to go for.
Because
it was a ballad.
Yeah.
And they'd written it on guitars and all that. And, of course, Matt Rogers is also a phenomenal singer. So it was, like,
mm-hmm.
up in the stratosphere. We had to pull it way down the key.
So, in a way, you were still defining what Tulane Simmer.
We were still figuring it out.
Still figuring it out.
And we still.
I don't think you ever really reach a point where you think you've got it figured out, because you're always growing and evolving, don't you think?
That's right.
That's my philosophy, anyway.
So. That's right.
Let's listen to I Don't here on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Tulane Simmer, Chris and Joe.
I don't want to feel this lonely. I don't want to hold a grudge. I kind of want to find somebody, but I don't want to give you up. I don't want to spend another minute sitting here not over you. I don't know how you did it, 'cause I don't know what to do. I've been putting one boot in front of the other, letting time says it does. Easier said than done. When you miss someone, I might move on. I probably won't, but I'm always gonna love you more than I don't.
offend a wounded someone. I might move on, I probably won't, but I'm always gonna love.
Fantastic. Love it. And you know, you talk about that twist in a song, and sometimes it's a subtle little thing. I'm always going to love you more than I don't.
Woo!
Really. When I first heard that, it's like,
gosh.
Yeah, man. Why didn't I think of that?
Dude, I know.
That's my favorite thing about songwriting. When I hear a song like that, and I go, man, it was there all along. It's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I want to wish you guys all the best. I really love what you're doing. And Sheree, thank you again for the introduction. And I look forward to meeting Chris someday. I really
yes.
do. All the best.
It's going to be good. Yeah. And thank you, you and your wife, for opening up your home to have me over.
Yeah, here in our dining room studio. So it's good to have you here around the dining room table. So
I appreciate it. And I look forward to the million. We're going to get the million by...
We're going to hit the million by the end of the
summer.
We're trying.
Come on.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.